On the 250th anniversary of the birth of Ludwig van Beethoven, I, Patricia Salomone, present Beethoven, His Life and Times, with the assistance of my friend Gerald Fennec for the musical content. With the concert conducted by Beethoven at Vienna's University Hall on the 8th December 1814, which was so successful that it was repeated on the 12th, we concluded the program last week. Why was this concert so successful? The combination of Maelzel's engaging personality, the charitable nature of the proposed concert for the benefit of the Austrian and Bavarian soldiers wounded in the Battle of Hanau, and the public's curiosity to hear Beethoven's latest work had brought many forces together to assist in the staging of the benefit concert, among whom were many leading musicians, some only temporarily in Vienna, as Dragonetti, Meyerbeer, and the bassoon player Romberg. Can you imagine so many well-known musicians, some normally in harsh competition with one another, pooling together for a charity concert? It sounds a bit like the Pavarotti and Friends of our times. The concert generated over 4,000 florins, which were handed over to the Hohen Kriegspresidio. In the aftermath of these performances, Beethoven prepared this note of thanks to all participating musicians for press release. It is interesting to note the names of the renowned musicians that he mentions. "It was," he wrote, "a rare assembly of outstanding artists, in which each one, inspired by the sole thought of contributing by his art something for the benefit of the fatherland, worked together without thought of rank and in subordinate positions to bring about an outstanding performance." Not only did Herr Schuppenzeich, as leader of the first violin, carry the orchestra with him by his fiery and expressive playing, but Herr Chef Kapellmeister Salieri did not disdain to give the beat to the drums and the cannonades. Herr Soffer and Herr Meisseder, each by his artistry worthy of the highest leadership, played their parts as the second and third desks. And Herr Siboni and Giuliani likewise occupied subordinate places. The leadership of the whole assemblage fell to me only because the music was of my composition. Had it been someone else, I should have been as willing as Herr Himmel to take my place at the great drum, since we were all filled solely with the purest feeling of love for the fatherland and with the joy of giving our powers for those who had given so greatly for us. But our greatest thanks are due to Herr Maelzel, since it was he who first conceived the idea of this concert, and to him fell the most burdensome part of the enterprise, the necessary preliminary work, care, and management. Beyond this, I must express my particular thanks to him, since by this concert that he brought about, and by the composition written specifically for this worthy purpose and delivered to him without fee, he brought to fulfillment my long-cherished, ardent wish to lay one of my great works upon the altar of the Fatherland under the present conditions. It is interesting to note how much value Beethoven gives to the Fatherland. Here we get a glimpse of Beethoven's Romanticism, which has its roots in the Sturm und Drang movement, which came into being towards the end of the 18th century, especially in Germany. This movement became associated with the wide array of German authors and composers of the mid to late classical period. It had an anti-aristocratic slant while seeking to elevate all things humble, natural, or intensely real, especially whatever is painful, tormenting, or frightening. See Goethe's Werther and Schiller's Die Räuber. While the nobility, the adherents of the Sturm und Drang movement, were romantics, who saw the development of nationhood as based on the history of people. Particularly in Germany, this was related to the interpretation of the ancient Germanic history, even folklore, as studied by Johann Gottfried Herder. Hence, the romantic ideal of nationhood, or the Fatherland. We have already seen how Beethoven was attracted to the writings of Goethe and Schiller, which he had been exposed to in the home of his friends, the von Breunings. So it is little wonder that he should aspire to compose music to exalt the Fatherland. And yet, Beethoven's note of thanks was never published. The reason is simple and complicated at the same time, but it can basically be attributed to the quarrel that developed between Beethoven and Maelzel. For when Beethoven was told that Maelzel was trying to get possession of the orchestrated score, he began legal proceedings against him. And what was the obvious immediate consequence of this quarrel? It meant that Maelzel's and Beethoven's original plans to go to England did not materialize. This was the end of the Beethoven-Maelzel joint venture. But Beethoven's ambition for his composition to reach the shores of England, even going so far as to reach King George IV, was to haunt him into the later years of his life. Beethoven reacted to this falling out with Maelzel by announcing on December 31, 1813, in the Wiener Zeitung, "The desire of a large number of music lovers, whom I esteem as worthy of honour, to hear me again, the desire of a large number of music lovers, whom I esteem as worthy of honour, to hear again my grand instrumental composition on Wellington's victory at Vittoria, makes it my pleasant duty herewith to inform the valued public that on Sunday the 2nd of January I shall have the honour to perform the aforementioned composition with added vocal pieces and choruses, and aided by the most admirable musicians of Vienna, in the large Rudenzenstall for my benefit." The added vocal pieces and choruses replaced Maelzel's mechanical trumpeter, which, owing to the quarrel, of course, no longer featured in the concert. Yet another broken friendship. Maelzel eventually left Vienna. He travelled across Europe and to the new continent, where he died by drowning, and with him went his panharmonicum.
On June 12, 1813, near the Basque city of Vittoria, Sir Arthur Wellesley, later to be Duke of Wellington, soundly whipped a French army under King Joseph Bonaparte and Marshal Jourdan, and drove it out of Spain back into France. This made all anti-Napoleonic Europeans happy, and 1,000 miles to the northeast in Vienna, two very talented men prepared to celebrate the event in a most unusual way. These were Ludwig van Beethoven, whom everybody knows about, and a friend of his, a man of rare but weird abilities, named Johann Nepomuk Maelzel. Maelzel was a gadgeteer, with a sort of Barnum-like mind. He had invented a mechanical bugler that could play cavalry marches. He also invented an ear trumpet, which endeared him to Beethoven. Finally, he invented the panharmonicum, a giant mechanical orchestral machine, run by air pressure and incorporating flutes, trumpets, drums, cymbals, triangles, and strings struck by hammers, as well as violins, cellos, and clarinets. Maelzel had lately lent Beethoven 50 ducats, so Beethoven agreed readily, indeed enthusiastically, to write a piece for the Metal Monster, Who first had the idea of Wellington's victory, nobody really knows. Both men claimed it later. Anyway, Beethoven wrote the music in accord with what the machine could do. The Behemoth had to be re-rigged for the Battle Symphony, so Mahler suggested that Beethoven meanwhile adapt the score for orchestra, give a concert and raise money. He did, and they made a tidy sum. He repeated and they made still more. Then they had a fight, since Mahler laid claim to possession of the score, on the grounds that he had paid for it. This threw Beethoven into a fury, which was not hard to do, so he stormed off and gave a concert performance of the victory for his own sole benefit. As he was doing this, Mahler sneaked out of town with a copy of the music. Since the two men had schemed to conquer London with the awesome joint creation, Beethoven now wrote an open letter to the musicians of London, urging them to spurn the nefarious Johann Nepomuk when he arrived. He also filed suit in Vienna. Mahler never got to London, and when he finally returned to Vienna, Beethoven called off the lawsuit, whereupon Mahler split the cost with him. They seem to have understood each other pretty well. Mahler, incidentally, spent his last years in the United States, demonstrating a spectacular animated set piece called The Burning of Moscow.
Partnership with Menzel having been broken, Beethoven had set off on his own, and his appetite for financial and public success having been whetted, he immediately went about launching another academy, which was advertised in the Wiener Zeitung of February 24th and announced for the 27th of February in the large Redoutenstall. Biographer Schindler, as well as Beethoven himself, left detailed records with respect to the expenses of this event. The audience was estimated at 5,000. While the new Eighth Symphony was not yet fully understood, everything else, including the Wellington Battle, Opus 91, pleased and filled Beethoven's pockets. Consequently, Beethoven was able to set aside a handsome amount of money in bank shares, most of which he would never touch, however, as he felt obliged to leave something for his nephew Karl. while Liszt Beethoven did not consider this Battle Symphony as being his best composition, he did receive much artistic satisfaction and financial gain from its success. But one matter was to remain a disappointment. Although he forwarded the score to His Majesty King George IV, the Royal Court of England never acknowledged receipt of this work to him. The biographer Thayer stated that he found amongst Beethoven's papers a note written to His Majesty the King and signed by him, saying, "Already in the year 1813, the undersigned undertook the liberty to send to Your Majesty his composition entitled Wellington's Battle and the Victory at Vittoria, which no one possessed at the time." For many years the undersigned cherished the sweet wish that Your Majesty would graciously make known the receipt of his work to him. But he has not yet been able to boast of this happiness. In 1815, Beethoven offered this work to Sir George Smart of London for 70 guineas. He also corresponded with Johann Peter Salomon and with his former pupil Ferdinand Reis on this matter. Ultimately, the music publisher Robert Burkle bought from Beethoven four works, Opus 91, 92, the Archduke Trio, Opus 97, and the Sonata for Pianoforte and Violin, Opus 96, for £65. Steiner of Vienna also published this work in 1815. Years later, when Sir George Smart visited Beethoven in Vienna in 1825, the composer was pleased to learn that the battle had been performed together with the Mount of Olives in one evening. However, he made it a point to mention to Smart that he had not forgotten that King George IV had never acknowledged receipt of his work. Napoleon's escape from Elba in March 1815 had a dramatic effect on all the peoples of Europe. As for Beethoven, the worsening of Kaspar Karl's condition was to have much more far-reaching personal consequences. Here, I quote John Suscher's biography. Beethoven had a far more serious problem to contend with, a crisis that had been in abeyance for 2 years, but that now returned with a vengeance. On November 14th, 1815, Karl Beethoven lay on his deathbed, and we shall have to wait until next Tuesday at 8 p.m. or for the repeat on Wednesday at 10 a.m. for the story to continue.